Well, have you ever considered that? Why does Thanksgiving come before Christmas? It's not actually the true meaning, but I think it's probably the better meaning. Of course, I did a little research this week on the first Thanksgiving. Anybody know what year it was? December? Anybody? Come on. Wow. 1621. But thanks for throwing it out there. The original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrims, the settlers in Massachusetts, during the second winter that they were in America. The first winter had killed almost half of them. 44 of the 102 colonists, they say, died. It says here, at one point, their food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn apiece per day. We probably couldn't do that. But then an unexpected trading vessel arrived, swapping beaver pelts and grain, providing for the severe need. It says the next summer's crop brought hope, and so Governor William Bradford decreed that December 13th, 1621, be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show gratitude, the gratitude of the colonists, that they were still alive. It goes on to say that it was a day to give thanks to God. And that was the main point. The day included prayers and sermons and songs of praise. And that was all important because it was a day of thanking God for saving them through that time of severe distress, if you will. And so many of us, you know, we look forward to Thanksgiving. Apparently not Travis, but no, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about Travis later, but we look forward to Thanksgiving, and we share, you know, one of the main things I'm sure your family does, as ours, is we, around the table, we share the things that we're thankful for, and I think any true believer, that focuses, that centers around God, right, because God is the reason for any of our thanks. You heard it in the testimonies of the deacons this morning, and thank you guys, by the way, for sharing that. First and foremost, I think everyone said for salvation, but even the smallest intricate details of our lives, our family, our friends, all of those things base back around God. He's the one that has given them to us, who is gracious to us. And so as we consider this morning what it means to be thankful, I want you to be thinking about that. And as we get to the end, I'm actually going to give us a chance to just kind of do some sharing together of things that we're thankful for. So be thinking about that. We're going to do 2 verses this morning. Actually, I think we'll just read them off the board. If you guys would stand with me, I want to read together. Again, these are 2 passages. We went through Philippians earlier, went through 1 Thessalonians, so we've went over these verses, but they're very integral in just the life of a believer. And so I want to read them together as we get going this morning. So read with me 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The next one then is Philippians 4:4 through 6. Read with me again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to this place, and we're looking forward to a holiday, a celebration. God, we pray this morning that you would help us to see just the gratefulness that is due to you. That as we go into this week with our family and friends, and maybe many who are unaware of who you are, unaware of the saving grace of Jesus, that we would have a keen focus on sharing all of our gratefulness through you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the one who is worthy, who is due all of our praise and thanks. So God, I pray this morning that you would guide us, that you would help us, even to be bold as we share later on our praise to you and our thankfulness. Now, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So I looked up some definitions and synonyms. Of course, Webster's Dictionary for Thanksgiving, their synonyms and close synonyms, such as appreciation, appreciativeness, gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness, thanks, And it goes on and on, acknowledgement, recognition, tribute, all of those things. And so those are kind of your just specific word, worldly, if you will, synonyms for thanksgiving. But the Bible, and as we see in these passages, has some words that are very much, maybe not synonymous, but they go together no matter what. And those are praise and thanksgiving. Those two are could be considered synonyms. In fact, the Lexingham Theological Wordbook says this: praising God is the activity of God's creatures in honoring God because of the acts and the nature of God. So praise is praising Him for who He is, for what His nature and His all of those things that make up who God is. And then it goes on to say that thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude to God for His care and concern, especially as shown through His redemptive act. So the thanksgiving is kind of more the personal, what I am thanking God for doing in my life, especially salvation. That is the key to all of it, right? So some other words that we see in these passages is then that prayer and rejoicing also go hand in hand with thanksgiving. And so as we work through these passages in a little bit, we're going to see that. Thanksgiving is a theme that's throughout the Bible, cover to cover. I mean, we could go almost any place and see God's worthy of being thanked, and that He commands His people to thank them. The Jews had traditions and feasts and celebrations that were just to thank God, and we do the same. And so we should be focusing again our thanks on Him. So my challenge again with this morning is to be very practical. As we think about thanking God, as you look ahead to this week, as I mentioned earlier, as you share around the dinner table on Thursday, your thanks, help your kids, help yourself, help your family to focus that thanks in on God. A child may say something like, "I'm thankful for cake or for candy," but that again is based in God, right? He gave us the ability, the minds to create such wonderful things. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Everything is due to God. He deserves our thanks for all things. Of course, I like what John shared, and we're going to talk about this later on too, but it's not just the good things, but that is what we focus on, is it not? We are to be thankful for the trials. We are to be thankful for the hard things that come into our lives because He is still worthy. So as we get started, what I want to do this morning, I'm going to read really fast a bunch of Psalms. The Psalms is the perfect place. I mean, you could read almost any Psalm to see thanksgiving to God. It was a book of praise that were mostly sung. But what I want you to do, if you remember when you were back in school and you would read a story, you had to do some information gathering, right? Does anybody know what the 5 W's and an H are? Oh, you didn't know the year of Thanksgiving. You don't know information gathering. I fear we have some schooling to do. There you go. My mom was a principal. Who, what, when, why, where, and how. So the five, I want you to listen for the 5 W's and an H as I go through this. Who, what, when, why, where, and how. See how we're getting this interactive? Because we're going to share later. So get your voices warmed up. Scripture commands us to thank God. The Psalms, again, we see it all over the place. So Psalm, I picked a few kind of from the beginning to the end, but Psalm 7, verse 17, "I will give thanks to the Lord." So there's some who's. We will give thanks to God, to the Lord, according to His righteousness. That's a why. His righteousness, of course, is we can't understand even all of it. He is completely and fully righteous. It goes on and says, "I will sing praise to the name of the Lord." So there's a how. That's one way that we can do it, is singing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. How about Psalm 9, verse 1 through 2? "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." So he's telling of the wonders, he's singing praise, he's being glad in the Lord. Those are all hows, with all of his heart, singing praise to God. I like Psalm 35:18. This one says, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. So it's good and right that we together as a congregation, as a group of believers, that we praise God. And we do that every Sunday. But I challenge you often, are you just singing the songs? Is that just part of the service that we have to get through so that we can get on to the Word of God? I hope not. As we sing those songs, how can you sing that to God and not feel it and not mean it? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. We're doing all of what the Psalms are claiming, are saying that we should do. So again, Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among the mighty throng. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95:1-3, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He is worthy, and we praise him and we thank him. Of course, we couldn't go through this without Psalm 100, right? Psalm 100:1-5. We'll just read all of it. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve him, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's so much in this. Know that he is God. We are his people. Remember, he's adopted us into the family. We're part of the sheepfold. We're sheep in his pasture. It goes on, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. He is worthy and he is always faithful. He is always the rock of our salvation. His loving kindness is everlasting. Now that's one that we see, Psalm 106:1, Psalm 107:1, Psalm 118:1, all have very similar things. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. 107:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 118:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You can't read the scripture, you can't read the Psalms, you can't do that without understanding that God is worthy. He is the focus of all of our thanks, all of our affection. One more, well, I guess if you look at the front of your bulletin too, Psalm 136:1 is a good one, but Psalm 147:7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to God on the lyre. That's not the type with their pants on fire, but that's a musical instrument. Again, it's a proper and right thing for us to sing together, to come before God and to worship him through song. So we're commanded in the scripture very clearly to praise him, to give him thanks because he is worthy. So that's just in the Psalms. Now we're going to jump and look at our verses this morning that we read together. And we see that thanksgiving is always tied to these other elements, to rejoicing, to praising God. Again, if you just simply read 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, a great passage to memorize. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We've talked about this before, but people often say, oh, I just wish I knew what God's will was for my life. And what they mean is they want him to say, you need to go do this job, or you need to go this direction. But the Bible is pretty clear that God's will is often declared, and it usually has to do with us worshiping him. The details come in line as we are serving him properly, as Scripture says. The problem is that so many of us rejoice when we're happy, right? That's easy to rejoice when we're happy and things are going well. We pray when things get tough, right? When things are hard, when it's going smoothly, we don't really think that much to pray. And we give thanks when things are going our way, or, you know, when we feel like it. But we're going to see again as we go on that it has nothing to do with our feelings. That's all focused on me. God is the object of our rejoicing. He is the hearer of our prayers. He is the receiver of our praise. And so we focus our attention on Him. And when we do that, we can do all three and all of the time, if you notice the wording there. So then on to Philippians 4:6. Again, very similar things, but I love the promise at the end of this verse. Again, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if that was enough, he says, again, I will tell you, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. He says, be anxious for nothing. This is kind of the negative side of it. He's saying, don't be anxious, but in everything. So here's your combat to being anxious through by prayer and supplication. And not just that, with thanksgiving. Again, oftentimes we come to God with our long list of we need this and we need this and this person's sick. But look at that, with thanksgiving has to be always intermingled, mixed in with all of that. Why? Because He's worthy. We just saw that, right? But here's the promise. When you do that, He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is such a beautiful passage. I often write that when I write a card or something to people, because there's just such a peace. And it's not even comprehensible. We don't have the mind of God. We don't have the thoughts of God. How can, you know, you look at situations and say, how can someone rejoice in such a hard time and such a hard thing? But again, it goes back to what is the focus, what is the reason for our rejoicing? It's God Himself. So we rejoice always in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We make our requests known to God. And in that, there is an incredible peace and comfort that comes along with that. So let's go real quick just through the words afterwards, right? So we have rejoice always. That's a combat for being anxious. That is helps us with not being bitter. It helps us to see God in the situation, keeping our focus rightly on Him. Oftentimes people will say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Things aren't going well, and I'm sad and depressed. The problem with that is that we're talking about us and our feelings, and again, nowhere in this command are you and your feelings found. We rejoice in the Lord because He is worthy. He is worthy to receive our rejoicing. It has nothing to do with our feelings, and that's a hard one, right, for this world today. Because we love our feelings and we love ourselves. Our rejoicing is not based on us. It's not based on circumstances. And if we truly believe Romans 8:28, we know that that's true. He says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you truly believe that, if you truly understand that, it's not talking about ease and comfort. It's talking about our eternal destination. He's working all of these things, the hard things, the easy things, all together for our good to eventually bring us into His kingdom. It's that in-between time that we struggle with, right? Knowing the truth and making it known. But how can we do this? First of all, it's because God is sovereign. And then we look at the trial, and maybe it's because we need to grow in our dependence on Him or put ourselves off, less reliance on ourselves. Maybe He needs to show us His strength or to grow our faith in the trials. Or maybe He's using your right response to the trial to bring people to Christ. As people look at you and say, how can you have so much peace? And you can explain, well, I have this peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? Let me tell you about my Jesus, right? So as we buzz through this, the next one then is praying without ceasing. What does that mean? What is without ceasing? So we never stop. Again, this is another anecdote to worry. He tells us to make our requests known to God. He knows that there will be hard things that will come in. He knows that we will struggle with those. But when we make those known to Him, trusting again the God of the universe who holds all things in His hands, how can we worry about it? How can we try to work our own ending into it and take control of it? It would be foolish. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. a similar passage. We're always in the knowledge of the presence of God. This doesn't mean with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, driving down the road, of course, but we're in the presence and the knowledge of God in our lives, making our requests known to Him as we go throughout our day, and we have that relationship where we can speak and just be in His presence. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, I don't feel close to God right now. I don't feel like I can pray to Him. The problem is that the command to pray without ceasing is not based on you or your feelings. Sound familiar? It doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It's based on God and His faithfulness. He is always there. He is always hearing. He is always ready to receive the prayers of His child. And so just as with rejoicing, prayer is commanded always, and it does not depend on us or our feelings. And then the last one, praising God or giving thanks, if we want to use them synonymously, in everything. Again, we saw how we can do that through singing, through prayer, obviously, through spoken testimony, and that's what I want to get to this morning. But again, this is to be done all the time. So, if you say, I don't feel like praising God today, nothing's going my way, I don't even know if He's worthy of praise, I don't feel like it. Again, let me tell you, the command to praise God, to thank Him in all things, does not have anything to do with you or your feelings. It's because He is worthy, because He is the unchanging One who is always there, who deserves our praising. We need to recognize again the thanks that is due to Him in all situations and all circumstances in our lives. So again, those are two incredible passages, and they really form the way that we live as Christians. And so what I wanted to kind of do with the balance of our time this morning is just go through a few categories and allow you guys, all of us together, to just praise God. And I've been praying about this a lot this week because I am one of those who, like probably many of you, would sit in a service like this and have lots of things rolling through his head, who wanted to testify to God's goodness, who wanted to shout out as we do this, but who would sit there and not do it. And so I've been praying for you quiet people, for you children, everybody here this morning, that you would testify to the goodness of God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do popcorn praise. Popcorn praise. We Farvers love popcorn. We were talking about it yesterday. It's kind of our thing. We eat a lot of popcorn. And you know the excitement as it begins to pop, one here and one there. And that's kind of the idea, is that this isn't a long drawn out. This isn't coming up to give a long testimony. But as you do popcorn praise, it's just saying a short thing, right? The first category is that we're praising God for who He is. So from your chair, it can be one word, Almighty. It can be, I praise God because He's ever present. You know, all of those things. And so the hope, the idea is that we would share our hearts. And it's not necessarily, it's not about us, but it's beneficial for us to hear other people praise. And if you look on your notes in the bulletin, I left room between each category so that you could write down things that you hadn't thought of, things that somebody else said that was impactful to your life. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, through Him, that is through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give Him praise. And so that's what we want to do. Of course, I thought of Mark 8:38 and Luke 9:29, where Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of Him when He comes in His glory, for the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And so that kind of comes to mind as well. Don't be ashamed to praise God. And that's what we want to do. And so, again, there's categories. So the first one is just praising Him for who He is. So that was a lot of setup. Let's see if we can do this. So just, amen. For His love. Maybe I'll repeat them so that people can hear. For His grace, for answered prayers. It's okay, because when popcorn goes, sometimes it goes over each other, but we'll try to keep it. For His strength. for his love, mercy, healing, forgiveness, that's a good one, hope, for his peace that passes all understanding, right? His gifts. He's the giver of all good things, right? He's the one and only. There's only one way, and it's Jesus, and there's only one God. For his sacrifice, amen. I'm not sure what Lincoln said, but I think it was praise. What else? I'm looking at you shy people. His patience, that's a good one. Faithfulness, kindness. Joy, correction. Getting ahead of yourself there on that one, but yes. Where's creation? All right, we're going to have to move to the next category because you guys are jumping ship on me here. So the next one is we're going to talk about his provision, right? So we're first of all focusing on his attributes, and those things do fall into that as well. But his provision is the biggest category really that we have because everything falls into it. The spiritual side, we praise him for his word, his salvation, church, all those things. But it also entails the physical aspects of our lives. We thank him for our families, for just the simple provisions of daily life and things like that. So this is a big one. Let's praise him for his provision in our lives. Driver's license. Somebody else said something. Our abilities. He's given us gifts and abilities and skills. His righteousness.
Family.
Your family that loves God, that's good. Somebody say? Yeah, did you say something? Faithfulness, yes. Yeah, he provides for our needs. Anybody thankful for that? For his word. What else? I still see shy people not talking. The family of God. I'm glad somebody said that. Thankful for this body. His faithfulness in all things for friends. That's a good one. Yep, for Jesus. What else? Pumpkin pie, anybody?
Coffee.
Right? I mean, that's the mindset we have to get back to. Right? Every good thing, everything on earth is goes back to him, even the things that we take for granted or, yeah. What else? Anything else? Our popcorn fizzled on that one. This was the biggest category. All right, well, we're going to get to the last one. We're going to thank him for the hard things. And this is the hardest category, right? This is what John talked about this morning, and I'm thankful that he did. As I was thinking about this, first of all, to make light, I thought of Travis, because if you know Travis, he loves the Word of God, he loves serving God, he loves his family, but he detests onions. And I couldn't help but think, can Travis praise God for onions? And so as I thought through that, first of all, I did some research because I thought it would be fun, but did you know, Travis, the average American eats almost 19 pounds of fresh and producer storage type onions in a year? The average American. Of course, you break the mold on that one. Can anybody guess which country eats the most onions in the world? Nope. They do eat a lot of them, though. Nope. Libya. Nobody was going to get it. Libya. It says that each person eats about 67 pounds of onions a year. That's pretty amazing. I have lots of other fun facts here, but here's the thing. Maybe some people love onions, so this wouldn't apply in this category. But if it's something, whether it's an onion or a person that drives us absolutely crazy, one of our enemies, as the Bible describes it, we are to praise God for that. And that's the lighter side. But we think of people in our church family, people who are recently diagnosed with cancer, people who have been struggling with cancer and health issues for a long time. And we think that they need to be able to praise God in that. We're not praising God necessarily for the disease or for the weed, but we're praising Him because of what it tells us about Him. We realize that, again, that He is faithful, that He is going to bring us through it one way or the other, that doesn't physically affect our salvation. It doesn't affect our standing before Him. Again, it can be a testimony to Him through the way that we handle it. Sometimes our trials remind us of the fall, right? They remind us of our sin that we all struggle with. And that then in turn reminds us again of Jesus and the work that He's done on the cross. And we can't help but be thankful for what He's done to forgive us for our sins. And so this morning, let's do some popcorn praise for the things that are hard in our lives, for the things that He's brought about to sharpen us, to draw us closer to Himself. Sorry? The loss of a loved one. For suffering. Division. School. Somebody said school. Yep, He's always there in our hardships. Math. Consequences. Right? Sin has consequences. Huh? COVID. What else? For fun. That's good. What else? We think of our deepest trials or our most trying person and things like that. And again, I want to just bring back the idea that He is the one who is worthy of our praise. Even when our feelings tell us that that isn't the case, when our feelings say this isn't fair, that this shouldn't be, but God is faithful. He is working His plan, whether we understand it, whether we agree with it or not. And so that brings us then to our last category, and that is, of course, that we thank Him for Jesus. Without Christ's sacrifice on the cross, without God sending His Son, which we will celebrate here in the next month, coming to the earth to live under the law, to fulfill the law, that is to live a life without sin, going to the cross unjustly, right? If Jesus had relied on His feelings, He would have said, hold up, this isn't fair. But He went knowing that He was going to pay for the sins of the world, for all of us who couldn't do it ourselves. He made a way. And so He simply asks us to place our faith in Him, to trust in Him, to that work that He did on the cross. One commentator says this, of all of God's gifts, the greatest one He has given is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It says, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid for our debt, so a holy and just judge could forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life as a free gift. This gift is available to those who will call on Christ to be saved from their sins in simple but sincere faith. And so we do thank God for Jesus. And again, this my hope, my desire is that throughout this Thanksgiving week, as you meet with people, as you meet with friends and family, that you would make much of our Savior. That your focus would turn conversations to the spiritual things, that you would reflect, that you would help people to see Christ in all and every situation, good, bad, or not. We're going to close this morning with a song, and it's got very deep and rich words, and so I hope as we sing it, I think it's a new one that we haven't done here before, but as we sing it, reflect on the words, because it's all about thanking God for Jesus. The chorus says, once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. It's only by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Sometimes we say that and we don't even give it thought. But God, we are just eternally grateful to you. God, that you've given us life, that you've given us breath, that you've allowed us to live in this place. God, we have comforts and good things, and we know that all of that comes from you, but we also have trials and we have struggles. We have health concerns and different things that would tempt us to look away from you, to feel like you have left us or mistreated us. But God, I pray this morning that as we consider your word and the reality that you are there, that you are worthy of our praise, even in the darkest moment. God, I pray you would guide us throughout this week. Help us to have conversations with people. Help us to give all praise and all glory to you, because you are worthy. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand and sing with us? I am thankful for new songs. As Josh mentioned, I think this one might be a new one for most of us, but Shannon and I were practicing it throughout the week. As you know, just to reiterate what Josh was saying, the lyrics of this were super, super rich. And a lot of times when new songs come in, I've got to learn them within a day so I can then teach them on Wednesday night. They are really challenging, but this is definitely one that was worth the effort to learn for us this morning. You've been blessed today. What a really cool morning. I loved every aspect of it, from hearing the kids sing to just being able to worship with all of you. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving this week if we don't speak again before then.